Outsiders Podcast. I am your host, Brandon Woodall. To my right.
That's why I was saying that.
Is Bryce Armstrong. The only
it's not Armstrong.
It's reversed.
Just because God put a salad bar at Pizza Ranch doesn't mean he wanted you to waste your time there.
What are you talking about?
I think we're on two different subjects.
No, we were never not talking about that.
About Pizza Ranch?
I'm so confused.
Shout out to Paul Rock.
Yeah, well, so no disrespect to Pizza Ranch, but I find salad bars to be an absolute waste of.
Yes, absolutely. No, life is too short.
No, but I use the toppings.
No.
Okay. I like salads sometimes.
Okay, yeah. That's the only like place to put the pudding and the Oreo fluff, I guess. But it's like otherwise.
I just want to know, what are you talking about?
I just wanted to start the show wrong. So.
Do you need me to restart?
First thing I could think of.
Jim's not here to keep us in control, which, by the way, Jim's not here today.
Aw. I was wondering.
I have a little bit more leg space tonight. We're not on video.
That's true.
But yes, to my opposite right would be
That's you, Bryce.
I know what it
You're more lefter than us.
I was just trying to think of a way to get out of it and I can't.
You can't.
I know. My name is Bryce.
This is the order. We must keep order.
Yeah, because we can't change.
No.
And to that guy over there.
You didn't say nothing.
I said it. My name is Bryce.
Oh, okay.
Bryce Armstrong.
Cool.
I'm sorry. Do you want me to say it again?
Hi, my
name is Bryce.
Hi, Bryce.
Who said that?
To that guy over there.
Oh, weird.
Who said that?
This is my name is Andrew McKinley.
Yes. Yummy. Yummy.
My name is Brett Welty.
My name is.
There is no snare in my headphones.
I do need more click track.
That's true.
I can't keep a cadence very well. Mm. Thank you.
I got you.
Thank you. Oh, you can turn it off now.
Oh, okay.
You don't that was the exact. Recording?
That was the exact tempo for Darude Sandstorm.
Are you talking about Desert Song?
No.
Oh,
what?
Yes.
It's an old worship song, remember? Hill song,
oh,
desert song. Remember. I don't even. This is my prayer. Okay, we're gonna get copyright strike. Anyways,
oh,
just
no.
Kidding. They don't listen.
Why are we deleted off of Spotify?
I don't think they listen. I don't think they listen to any podcasts. Hill song. That was a dig. That was a dig. It wasn't a very good one, but I try.
Yeah, I mean,
I try my best.
You're insulting them as if they didn't listen to podcasts, but I don't listen to podcasts, so you're also insulting.
Listening
me.
To podcasts is kind of like learning.
Unless it's comedy.
I don't listen to podcasts at all. Ironically.
I would take you for a Joe Rogan guy.
I don't listen to a single... I mean, I watch clips.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, that'd at least be the vein.
I'm not watching 3 hours of a podcast.
I accidentally listen to them on YouTube sometimes.
With my
eyes.
I
listen to our podcast when I'm editing it.
More than any of us combined.
Yeah, that's very true.
20 minutes about the North American pseudo-scorpion.
let's bring it back. The remix.
Let's bring it back. Dude. Throwback.
I think we could do another 20.
I'll sit in the background.
I'm not doing it again.
doesn't have claws. It has ampules.
What's funny is we all get it. No one else gets it.
Because I
cut the whole thing out.
That's a deep cut. And if you want that deep cut.
I'm not going to put it anywhere.
Put it on a Patreon.
Link them to the
you
Patreon.
You can subscribe to us. Make this our job, please. We'll do it. We'll gladly accept the job.
We will. If you want to support us or on Buy Me a Coffee.
Yeah.
Whatever you want.
You can support.
And then also on our links down there, you can click on Alexa Exiles because those are our three links.
I got to put my Substack in there now.
And then we'll have a fourth one, apparently. Send it to me. Because
you'll see the thought process of all the subjects come out there.
That's true.
No, because then they're going to get like a sneak peek.
It's okay. I want them to.
Please.
Oh, okay.
They won't get the whole thing.
Okay.
Please
make money for us. They're never going to get the whole thing.
They'll never get the whole thing.
Because my butt is tired from sitting on the forklift.
I thought you were going to say these junky chairs. I'm like, I know. I'm working on it. I know.
No, I'll bring my own chair. I want a beanbag.
I want a water bag. When I'm editing, all I hear is.
When folks, for those listening, when you get towards the end of the episode, just know that all of our butts are asleep. Because we are in some dining room table chairs right now.
Yeah.
That's all right. But anyways,
no dig on you.
Hey, you're not hurting my.
It's no dig. This is a startup.
They were cheap as free, man.
This is a space.
It's a great space.
We stole his homeschool table and chairs and nailed
it.
We bored four holes into it. Then added a fifth guy.
But we did not drill a hole for Jim.
We did not drill a hole for Jim.
Yeah, that first episode, he didn't even have a mic stand.
He just held it.
Basically just slow jammed the whole thing.
Yeah, that's really good.
Anyways, how's everyone been?
Apparently, really ADHD.
I love it.
We also haven't all four been together in a long time.
Well,
it's been a hot minute.
Mm-hmm. Seems like
so. Clearly, as all of you are experiencing, our chaos
seems like a personal problem.
Yeah, with all of us.
Yeah,
schedules.
Not me. I'm always around.
That's not true.
You come to my house for dinner.
I've been
tonight.
Pretty busy.
Tonight?
No, tomorrow night.
Oh. I am? Oh, yeah. Sweet.
What kind of pizza you want?
No. No one ever agrees on pizza.
Gluten-free option. Maybe a Hawaiian.
Hey, so.
Oh, God.
We talked about that earlier.
So speaking of gluten-free. So this will roll to how am I doing?
Yeah. You go first.
Wait,
yeah.
are you gluten-free now?
No.
Oh, okay.
Look at me. Come on, man. I'm gluten-full. So my wife was making a...
My wife.
She was making a...
making a pizza.
She was making a... Naomi has to make this... She has the gluten-free... You know, she's got to make the egg casserole that has none of the stuff in it, right? And she did a great job.
Yeah.
And then she made it. And then we got to reading. Did you know not all sausage is gluten free?
Yeah,
I found that out. Some of the fillers are bread.
I found that out. Or egg whites.
Yeah. So she put sausage on this was supposed to be gluten free. So I just told her to mark it gluten possible. So just make a sign that says gluten possible, because we couldn't find the label. So we had no idea.
It's the word minimal. Gluten with a question mark.
Gluten possible. So. That was a fun little thing that happened.
Oh, negative.
What?
So don't ask us to make your your food allergy food
with bacon.
Because we could
it
possibly
was cooked out.
Do a bad job. Well, not a bad job.
Yeah, the gluten cooks off.
Yeah, exactly. See, it's just fine.
So
if you
pizza,
cook it long enough, it's burnt.
But yeah, no sausage.
There's no gluten.
Often
here.
Honest
breadcrumb fillers. Yeah.
Honest question. Gluten intolerance. Do you need an EpiPen at some point? Does it ever get that bad? Or what happens if you eat gluten and you're not supposed to?
Really want to know? Do you want me to say it on a recording?
No, I mean, is that all it is?
No.
It's bad?
It's bad.
Okay, well, that's not good.
Do you want to crap a brick of clay? Because that's kind of what happens.
It's the opposite.
Oh, all right.
And it's also the way it messes with your stomach.
Is it for a long time? I'm justifying to myself.
It's
I'm hoping
days.
Oh,
and
that's bad.
And it is
maybe we should go for
the worst smell I've ever smelled in my life.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's worse than, it's awful.
It's pretty terrible.
Well, just maybe edit that out. Maybe edit all this out because
I've been Wikipediaing.
I don't know if I'm selling my wife out.
Your wife did a killer job. You already said that.
It was actually really good. We're actually going to start making that. We're like, this is great for us. it's delicious.
I love that for you.
Yeah, and it's going to be for me.
But it had flavor. Mm-hmm. That's good.
So that's how I'm doing.
Hi, Andrew. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. We got this big chain of sick babies keeps going back and forth a little bit. We just got back from Colorado, and one baby was sick, and then my wife was sick, then I was sick, and now the other baby's sick. Just kind of. Psh, 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 psh.
Bing, bing, bing,
yeah.
Time changes in elevation.
Pew, 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 pew. Yeah, I was bitter about it too, because for four. Beautiful days, I was not allergic to anything because in Colorado, there's nothing I'm allergic to.
Yeah.
But then back in Iowa, right away, stuffy nose.
You don't need to smell anything. Your life is just fine without it.
Smells like my strongest scent. It's the only one I got left, man.
That's tough.
That's how I get around.
Can't see, can't feel.
If I plug my nose, I walk into walls. It's crazy.
You know, Ray Charles used to wear hard-soled shoes so he'd know when he's walking by like a door. So
yeah, he used sonar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Neat.
You say things, and I don't know if you're joking.
That one was real.
That one's real. Okay.
Yeah.
I can corroborate that one.
That one was supposed to,
this one's tense.
But, yeah. So, we're dealing with, this is just tonight when he has a fever, so we got to have her mama skip church tomorrow. And Eliza, because I got to play music, so I can't hang out with her the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah, we never brought
Bummer.
Kids with fevers to church.
Yeah. Because we don't. We don't still want to do that to everyone else.
Yeah, we never
did. She was in a mood tonight, too. Winnie was not having
shocker.
It.
She was in a mood. She was in a mood last night.
She's probably starting to not feel well last night.
Who are we talking about? Brittany?
Winnie.
Winnie.
Oh, Winnie.
Winnie.
I was like, that is like Winnie. Like, Winnie and Brittany sound a lot alike when you're not listening.
But yeah, so we got Sick Baby, and then we're pouring cement for a new patio slab in the back.
You're not pouring anything.
I say we as in I hired Jose to do it, and he's an awesome dude, and I'm going to recommend him for everything because literally, like, I called him once. He's like, yeah, I'll put you on the list. He texts me like 4 hours later. He's like, all right, I'm going to come out tomorrow.
Short list.
And he's got a lot of contracts with the city because, like, they call him to do, like, the sidewalk replacements when people don't do them in time. So he's like, yeah, I know the paperwork. I'll do it. And so he's doing, like, the cracked stuff of the sidewalk in the front that needs to be repaired. Mm-hmm. And they were like, hey, by the way, let's just throw in a patio slab. And he's like, okay. And he was out the next day ripping up the old stuff and clearing the space. And now we're at, like, on Monday, he's pouring. Found and then we're
eight,
done.
8x8 cistern.
Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah. There's a big old hole in the yard. He texted me the picture. He's like, did you know about this hole? I was like, I did not, sir. That was underneath the cement.
We didn't put it there.
You had a sinkhole?
We had a cistern, like a cemented sewer drain kind of looking thing.
Yeah, we've got one of those.
And ours was just covered by old patio. And so
cool.
I was like, is that a problem? He's like, no, we'll just put the old cement in there and fill it up with dirt and cover over it.
You're
I was
good.
Like, cool. Sweet. So, yeah. This guy's made this an extremely painless process than I thought it was going to be a big pain in the butt. So,
good.
Yeah. If you guys need cement work, talk to me about Jose.
Sure. I don't need cement work.
Then don't talk to me about Jose.
We'll go talk about something else.
Yeah. Yeah. Patio slab, Sick Baby, back from Colorado. Synopsis. Thank you.
Colorado.
Yeah.
Your turn.
Go, Bryce, go.
Go, Bryce, go.
Go, Danny, go.
Danny, go, go.
Yes. Thank you.
Oh, I thought we were doing Johnny Be Good.
No. Go, Danny, go is YouTube, and you don't have, well, no, you have one that's young enough.
I straight up thought you were talking about Michael J. Fox.
No.
It's Back to the Future.
Nope.
Dun, dun.
I'm good today. I had a rough week at work, so, but I'm good today. Once I leave work, my ADHD allows me to not think about it.
Sweet.
Which is wonderful. But today was a good day. Got to hang out at the house. Actually, I did edit a podcast today. That's all I did outside of hanging out with the family. But yeah, it's a good day.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
It's cool.
How are you?
Oh, I'm all right. I'm doing great. Sold
are
my
you
house.
All right, or are you
sold great? My house. So currently we do have a GoFundMe because I am homeless. No, I'm kidding. That's a joke. But if you want to send money, you can send it, and I'll send it back. But yeah, we sold our house, and now we just have to go look for another one.
You should have been doing that kind of already.
We have been, and they've all been freaking duds. Because for some reason, Sioux City has the biggest amount of pigs with lipstick on, if you know what I'm saying.
I understand.
They make it look good, and then all of a sudden you walk in and it's like a clogged toilet in a way. So just terrible. It's terrible on the pipes. Terrible on the pipes of my mind. So this is what I've been doing.
That was deep.
I'm trying to be a better storyteller.
Like underground, man.
Right deep underground. Like plumbing.
Like the pipes.
Clogged mental pipes. So
more tubes in the internet,
or in my heart, or in my heart valves. Well, hopefully not that one, but I guess we'll find out when I get older.
Mm-hmm. You'll be wearing diapers in 10 years. So
sometimes I feel like I need to now, but that's just too real. Well, you know, the older you get. I'm only 30. I'm like the youngest person here right now.
The youngest person in this room.
Anyways, hey, Andrew's got a thing.
Yeah. Okay.
A beginning bit, a day of the week.
So if all goes according to plan, this will come out on November 12th.
Sure.
Correct?
12th.
So we always like to find an obscure holiday.
That's the day we vote.
No, it's not.
Just kidding.
Hey.
Voting will have happened.
It's already happened.
That's late voting.
Congratulations for all of you that are listening. And I'm sorry for all of you that are listening.
So
whatever happens,
here are
I'm so happy for you.
And
I'm
some of the holidays that we didn't pick.
Ooh.
Diabetic Eye Disease Awareness
Month. Why not that one?
These are the issues.
Is that your dad?
Want.
Oh, he's got glaucoma.
That's glaucoma, dude. Arthritis.
This one I was
gout.
I was like, maybe Brandon celebrates this one as Fancy Rat Mouse Day.
Me?
Like now he's going. He's like,
to.
Now I'm gonna.
I might have to. Wait, what was it called?
Fancy
Rat Mouse Day.
Huh.
What's rats?
What's rat mouse? Hey.
Go look it up, man.
Rat mouse.
National
like cat dog.
National French Dip Day.
Ooh, I'd go French.
Is that a sandwich or is that a stupid French person? I don't know.
I celebrate both privately. Yeah.
We do have listeners in France, but sure.
They're not stupid for listening to us.
But
this would make them smart ones.
World Pneumonia Day.
Is that the one we're doing?
That's not really celebrating.
Oh. No. We're going to do
darn it.
National Pizza with the Works Except Anchovies Day.
What?
Tell me that's the whole name?
That's the whole name. Huh? National Pizza with the Works Except Anchovies Day.
We couldn't do pneumonia or the rat mouse one.
Actually, that is my favorite kind of pizza.
You know how hard it is to find trivia on Fancy Rat Mouse?
The one without anchovies?
Well, I don't ever. I celebrate it.
That's a lie.
I celebrate anchovies privately.
Jerry's, pepperoni, and green olive.
Sheesh.
That is a good one.
Nothing can touch that.
I would tell you the best
three.
I very 0% like that one.
Well, you your taste buds suck, so.
Hey.
I do have the palate of a 10-year-old.
Yep. Like I said.
I mean.
And I have a 10-year-old, so I
do enjoy pineapple on my pizza.
I don't even.
We had that conversation.
Yeah, we did.
This is like a whole text.
Oh my god!
I'm glad it's all coming back together.
It's so dumb.
Seriously, if they could
I was sitting at work judging you for hours. So that
they
day.
Need to just do canned like
what's new?
Canned pineapple bits, but instead of pineapple in its own juice, it's pineapple in marinara sauce. You just eat that.
Well, it's like a bad.
No, because then it's cold. Because it.
Because it's better hot.
Yes. Have you been? Okay, what's that place called?
You're talking about the Sioux Falls. Yeah.
Give them the wrong place.
Carnival.
Yeah.
They're pineapple.
I know.
That pineapple.
Warm real, pineapple.
Real not
pineapple.
On pizza.
Still slap. Warm.
They should put cinnamon on it.
Oh, that's a good idea. I love cinnamon.
Cinnamon.
So yeah, we're gonna do pizza trivia.
I'm gonna mop up.
I love pizza.
So I'm gonna mop up.
We're gonna go way back before pizza there was flatbread.
Eh. That predates it. They still make flatbread.
Yeah.
It's like a throwback.
So the flatbread is often considered to be the progenitor of the pizza, which
that means before.
Thank you. I was gonna ask.
Translation.
So
translation. Pro meaning
what
before.
What country did flatbread start in?
France.
No. Italy.
Germany.
It's Italy. If it's not Italy, I'm going to walk out.
Egypt.
Oh.
Oh, that makes sense.
They're dead.
You know who else is from Egypt?
Did you say they're dead?
There's no Egyptians.
The Egyptians don't exist anymore.
Egypt, I think, is still around, but it's mostly like
sand.
Why do you think they call it ancient Egypt?
Well.
How many slices of pizza do Americans eat per second? Now I think we should modify it to North Americans because I don't think they're counting.
Are you saying like it's just there's a number and then they divide it by?
Yeah. So per second, like how many slices of pizza are getting eaten in America?
Three
in North America per second.
Three.
I'm saying six.
I'll say 10.
350.
What?
That's so much pizza. That's so much pizza. Why do we not own a pizzeria? That's insane.
So
that's like 24 pizzas
a second.
That's insane.
That's
what makes sense.
Yeah,
let's measure it in a more obscure way.
Okay, perfect.
How many acres worth of pizza do Americans eat each day?
Americans?
Acres? How many acres?
Oh my goodness! How do you extrapolate? This is like some sort of like weird like personality test where it's like now you know one thing. No. And what is the
12?
No.
Way
hundreds,
more, way
hundreds,
more.
Thousands of acres. I bet you it's 1,000 acres a day.
You went a little heavy, but I appreciate the enthusiasm. Yeah, go for it.
12.
No, I'm going to go under. I'll give another number then.
745.
I was going to go 500.
Less than that, 100 acres of pizza. But that's still
step
like
step up your
decent,
game,
that's
America.
That's a decent sized farm.
I was closer
than
both.
So think of that. Like
that was still a lot.
A really successful farmer his entire land is just pizza. We're eating one of those every day.
That's awesome. Sounds great.
That's a lot of pizza.
But what kind of pizza? Okay.
The works, minus the anchovies, obviously.
Oh, yes. So, yeah, you're right.
So not including the small percentage of Americans who don't eat pizza, which is...
Who?
Weirdos.
I don't really think we should count them as Americans, but...
It's true.
They're on the list.
They're probably Italian.
Of these people, though, of the true...
they're probably French.
Red-blooded American.
True patriots.
Patriots.
True patriots.
How many eat pizza at least once a month?
Oh,
at least once a month.
Are we talking a number or
percentage?
Percentage. Sorry, yeah, percentage
of Americans.
98.
Yeah. Oh, I was gonna say 96%.
95.
Y'all are real close. 93.
Oh. I was closest. Suckers. Just kidding.
Yeah, I remember those Americans are sometimes going on crazy diets.
Right. I did
gluten-free pizza.
I cut pizza in college. It was awful. Because I lost a ton of weight. That part was great.
Maybe.
But then I went back to eating pizza, so I got it all back. Don't worry.
I
found
it. I eat pizza like once a week.
It's so good.
So I love it.
Does
a calzone count?
Yeah, it's just a folded pizza.
It's like a, oh, it's
like a don't.
Here we go.
Is it a sandwich?
Hey, Brent, does a calzone
count?
Thank you.
Do you want like a full can of worms dumped on your computer right now? Because that's what you're asking.
No. Take it back.
Let's move on.
Is it like a sandwich?
Let's move on. Speaking of, so... I've got a
deep cut.
Speaking of sandwiches,
callback.
A court in Indiana just ruled that a taco is a sandwich.
Oh, no.
I almost lost my mind.
Granted, Indiana.
I think it was in.
They're,
oh, I gotta look at.
They're
it.
Trying
oh
to get the news.
They're. I mean, yeah.
They're trying to get the news.
They're flying in the face of.
They must have heard our podcast.
Self-respecting sandwich eaters everywhere.
The governor of
Indiana. I am not saying that tacos are a bad food. I love tacos, but they are not a sandwich.
They're not a sandwich. They don't even look like a sandwich.
Like another court said it has to be between two slices of bread.
I don't even know where this is. Allen County Superior Court. Judge Craig Bobay.
Well, he's obvious. Okay.
And Quintana versus Fort Wayne Planned Commission.
What a waste
Fort Wayne, Indiana. I got family in Fort Wayne.
Yeah, what a waste of freaking
How
government.
Have you not heard
money?
About this already?
I don't know. I'm a little disappointed. I'm going to have to call my wife's grandma and be like, what are you guys doing over there? Vote better.
However, not all judges have ruled that tacos are sandwiches. For example, a judge in Massachusetts ruled that tacos are not sandwiches to allow a chain restaurant to open.
Don't we?
Why would that matter?
Don't we have better things to be like going to court for?
No. It's apparently so restaurants can open based off of one sentence.
Get out of here. Get out of here. That's why no one lives there.
I think that has to do with like sandwich shops have different health codes than other restaurants.
Yeah. Depending wash your tables.
Whether they're assembled by hand in front of you or not or something like that.
Like Subway, eat fresh-ish.
Ish.
So I have a question now that's similar to a question we had on Sandwich Day.
Ooh.
And that we're talking about the most expensive pizza that is a regularly available menu item from a place.
Oh, I see.
But this one does require a scheduled event. They can't just do it. You got to call ahead of time and set it up. But it's still something that you can order just about any time.
Okay.
So the most expensive pizza in the world, it's called the Louis the 13th pizza. It takes 72 hours. How much does one pizza cost?
$300.
Are we talking pounds? Because that seems
what's
like
on it.
That seems like a UK thing.
I think let me see.
A boar's head.
The entire head, bone and all.
Well, if it's Louis the 15th or whatever, I mean, isn't that?
Guy's a,
doesn't there need to be a head on there somewhere?
Okay, so we've got.
That guy was a monster.
Wasn't that Henry VIII?
They're all bad.
They're all, yeah.
Except for Queen Victoria and Queen, what's her name?
Elizabeth.
There it is.
So it's got a spread of mozzarella di bufala.
Whatever.
A cheese made out of milk collected from domestic Italian buffaloes.
Naturally.
Gives the pizza a signature moist, chewy, and cheesy touch.
Stop.
Naturally.
Stop it.
Moist.
All the words.
Lobster meat prepared and flamed with cognac.
Oh, interesting.
I'd
have gone cognac.
Mediterranean shrimp.
I'm not a cognac.
Australian pink salt. And
Klondike bar.
I also would have gone Himalayan sea salt. Yeah. That's weird. Got a lot of decisions here.
The sauce includes cognac, champagne, and brandy.
Oh,
Remy Martin cognac.
Wow.
Champagne Remy, Cru like, Close du Mesnil from 1995.
Is this like, how big is this pizza?
I think it's like just a large pizza.
Okay.
I'm hating this. The more you talk, the more I hate this.
I'm still sticking with $300.
Yeah, I'm gonna go five.
Okay, is it where's it made?
Let's see. Renato Viola is.
I think I just looked over and saw the price. That is, if that was the number, this is gonna blow your mind.
Yeah, you did see it.
So dumb.
2,000 pounds.
So it's from Salerno, a coastal city in Italy.
2,000 euros.
Is there meat on it?
Lobster and shrimp. Yeah.
It doesn't even sound good.
Sounds horrible.
Well, you haven't tried it yet.
Okay.
I mean, I'll try anything once.
You're not going to try this when you hear the price.
Well, you're right, because I'm poor.
5,000 pounds or euros.
Mm.
Still close.
I said 500.
500?
Yeah.
I'm out. In American dollars... $12,000.
Shut up.
See, that's what I told you. I was like, it's the dumbest amount of money I've ever heard.
Who lives like this?
I don't know. Could you imagine, like,
no,
flying there, buying it, eating it, then telling everybody you ate there?
And then being glad you did that?
Yeah, and then, like, not being embarrassed.
Wow.
Yeah.
So no?
That makes me want to go into a deep theological discussion.
That really instills anger in me.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking
about.
That's what we're talking about today.
Oh, look what you did there. Look what you did.
Are we transitioning already? Or are we?
Do you have other questions?
I've got so many. How many more do you want to do?
Give me one more.
Okay.
Yeah, you get one.
The best one.
Okay, we might have to do a part A and part B for this one, though.
I like
that. So...
There was a way I could escape.
This is like a softball question. What is the most popular pizza topping in the United States?
Pepperoni.
Yeah. All right. So what's number two on the list?
Sausage.
Cheese.
Yeah, you got it. All right. Do you guys want to stop there?
Give us something a little bit more.
What percentage of Americans eat pizza, and not breakfast pizza necessarily, just pizza for breakfast?
What percentage
of Americans?
Is it cold or hot? Or does it matter?
It doesn't matter.
45%.
Just pizza for breakfast.
I'm going to say 53.
Who, like they just consider pizza a fine breakfast food?
No. 53.
I'd say 64%.
I think you guys went a little heavy on that, which I appreciate. 36. Hmm. 36%. Yeah.
What ifs?
What are you going to do?
That really instills anger in me.
Okay. I'm still angry about
this. I got one more. I got it.
Oh, okay.
Give it to us.
All right. This one's just more of a fact than a question, but we'll do it as a true false, and you guys will guess it.
False. True.
True or false? A pizza was delivered to an astronaut while in orbit.
True.
I think that is true.
Pizza Hut becomes the first company in history to deliver pizza to residents living in outer space.
NASA trapped some people there recently.
And guess who had to save them?
Elon Musk.
I hope you listen to our podcast, Elon.
He gets around.
They caught a rocket out of the air.
That's pretty crazy.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah. That's pretty sweet.
He might actually be worth the money.
I think he might be Bruce Wayne.
That'd be amazing.
That'd imply that...
Where are my flying cars, Bruce?
Maybe he's the Antichrist.
Nope. Too many people hate him.
Yeah, too many people don't like him.
Okay. Yeah, that's not how that works.
Hold on.
He's not that cute.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that add anger to my life. Just kidding.
Do you want to get into the topic?
Sure, let's do it.
Should we get into the topic?
Yeah, let's do.
So I need a good storyteller here.
Oh,
Andrew.
What? Andrew.
What am I doing?
We're going to talk, it's at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to tell a story today to get into our topic.
All right, talking about anger. There was a snake that crawled over a sharp saw and was cut. In anger, the snake wrapped the saw with its thick body and proceeded to squeeze the life out of the saw. With each angry squeeze, it felt more pain, but continued because it wasn't going to let that saw get away with the pain it caused it. The snake, refusing to let go of the saw, eventually died, not knowing the whole time he needed to let go of the initial pain and focus on its future and where it was going. Instead, the snake unfortunately lost its life and didn't even see it coming. Control your anger, forgive those that hurt you, and don't give people or things power over you. It can eventually kill you. Yoshi Matsumoto.
Yes. When I was thinking about the next topic to talk about, I saw this story. Well, I saw the picture of a snake wrapped around a saw on Substack. And so I read the initial comment and I read it and I was just like, yes, this is a great subject right now. Because when we were recording this, we're about 2 weeks out of an election,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of anger going around.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of, I think there's just a lot of anger in general in our current hyper emotional society, I would say.
Apple versus Android.
Yes, yes, exactly. PS2 versus Xbox. Wait, what?
Seems like a reference I would
make. I'm just trying to relate here. But no, I think anger can fester inside of our minds to where it has a bodily effect on us. Mm-hmm. And we can't let go of something that someone did. I know I can't. I have a hard time letting go of when people wrong me or like my wife or my friends or something like that. Like, I get very upset and I have a really, really hard time letting go. And I can tell when it's just stewing on my mind for weeks, months, years, that it's almost like when you come out of that trance, you're like, where have I been? And like, what have I done? Like, why have I held on? Why have I let this small situation that I could just let go of just run my life? You know? And Mark Twain would say, anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it is stored than to anything on which it is poured. Or
just like Head and Shoulders.
Just like Head and Shoulders. That doesn't get rid. Does not get rid of your
head or your shoulders.
Or your shoulders. Not even dandruff. So,
but knees or toes.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. Mm. Yeah. Eleanor Roosevelt would also say that anger is only one letter short of danger.
Mm.
Very interesting, right?
She can write.
She can write.
She can spell.
But it's kind of interesting.
It is interesting.
Like it is probably dangerous to hold on to anger. It's a lot of outcomes, a lot of negative outcomes when you give full vent to your anger, right?
Like, I'm angry right now that you made me read the words thick body.
I'm sorry.
Earlier in this paragraph.
I apologize. But no, anybody have any thoughts on our subject tonight?
Andrew's like straight up looked right at me. Like, it's just assumed I'm going next.
You always do. You always do. That's usually how it goes.
You moved in your seat the way you do when you're.
You did, and you adjusted your microphone. Yeah.
Oh,
you're getting ready.
You have body language that we all recognize.
I had no idea.
We
I had
can
no idea.
Read you like an open
I wasn't
book.
Even thinking I was going to start. I think I was just getting ready.
I mean, we're not even mad about it. So.
No, I'm glad to know. What was the question? I was so busy.
Some thoughts. Anger.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that quote about from Mark Twain. I also heard a quote one time about bitterness, that bitterness is drinking poison and expecting it to kill somebody else. So stuff like that is out there. People talk like that. But I think that – is it in there?
Dude, what notes?
What notes are you reading? I don't see any of that.
It's saying right below the Mark Twain quote.
Dude, look at my thing. I don't have it.
Yeah, mine's blank too.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't have it. So
that's great.
I do.
So needless
to say.
That's
the one I was talking about, the comment that he put in there.
Oh.
It's by the Buddha.
Oh.
It's Buddha.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's by the Buddha.
Oh, no kidding.
Anger is like drinking poison, expecting the other person to die.
Yeah, I've heard it so many places. I didn't know
where it was. True. I'm glad we read that.
Yeah, well, it's extra funny because I don't have it in my notes.
It was just weird.
That's which is like the only quote I would know. But anyway, I think so. The thing you said about anger and this time, I think it's true, but I think it's also just true generally. Anger is something that I think all humanity, all people, just deal with all the time. It's just so pervasive. I think it's really one of the type of sinful reactions that we have that I think is just incredibly universal. Like, not everybody will struggle with every sin, but it would seem like anger seems to be a category of sin or a response to stimuli that is very common to the human condition. I mean, think about Psalm, our Proverbs, you'd already quoted Proverbs 29, a fool gives full vent to a spirit. And, you know, there's just so many other texts that you can look at.
Oh, yeah.
And which I'm sure we'll get to, but my general thought is like, it's, I think it's a really good, so we're going to talk about anger, righteous anger. We're going to talk. I mean, so I'm really bitterness. Interested in having that conversation because I don't know what I think about righteous anger. I think depending on how you just define it would determine how I just think anger needs to be on a very, very short leash for anyone that's not Jesus.
Yeah.
So
no, I yeah.
Which is where we're going. Which is where I mean.
Yeah.
Because I'm very interested in that. Because what I noticed was when I did some research on some text today, I'm thinking about James 1:19 that says, you know, the anger of man does not equal or does not generate the righteousness of God. So anger is there is definitely an anger that I think most of us deal with that is sinful and wrong and does not accomplish anything of any merit or value. And then there's this other smaller category of righteous anger, which I don't even know how, I mean, anyway, but yeah, I just think anger is, it's just everywhere.
Yeah. Well, it's something, like you said, it's something that all people deal with in mm-hmm. some form. I think other people are more bent to be more angry. I would say I've grown up that way. I've been bent to be very emotional and very quick to speak, slow to become angry kind of thing. Like I'm very fast to become angry. And it's just, that's the thing I struggle with a lot. I struggle with the most probably.
Me too.
And so
it's my biggest sin.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Cause it's like, I feel like in the moment, I feel like someone has done me wrong.
Yep.
And I have been taught in my life that if someone does you wrong, you get back at them. You don't let it go. Or you beat them up, or you talk down to them, or you backbite them.
Yeah.
Or you hold that grudge.
Or you do something to make them look horrible.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's doesn't seem to line up to the way that Jesus calls us to be or to act. And when you talk about righteous anger, I don't see how we could ever fully do that well.
Agreed.
So I think we'll talk about that more obviously, but I just, the more and more I look at it, it just seems like maybe we, let me ask you this as well. Do you think our world glamorizes some sort of anger in a way? Or they see it as a virtue?
Yeah. I mean, especially like if you think about, let's say someone cheats on their spouse. Mm-hmm. If you look at any Hollywood movie, that movie makes you cheer for the spouse that was cheated on to get any revenge that is that they want on the spouse that cheated on them.
Yeah.
And you're cheering for them because you want them to get even.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is glorified.
That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Anger basically comes back to worship of self.
Mm-hmm.
You can't think I've been wronged without thinking I deserve better than the situation I'm in.
Yeah.
I deserve better treatment than what I've been given.
Yeah.
Whether or not the person that wronged you is in the right or not is less important than you desiring to be treated well. When we're in a fallen world, we have all done enough disobeying God to not deserve anything good.
Yeah.
We all deserve hell. We've all done enough to deserve hell. And it's God's grace that we get better than that here and now.
Yeah.
So to say I've been wronged, to say I need to be treated better than that, is to say that myself is important enough to be treated better. That's the reason that anger is a sin that pretty much everybody deals with, is because self-worship is a thing that everyone deals with.
Yeah.
That was kind of the first sin. What did Adam and Eve want when they ate the apple the fruit? They wanted godhood. They wanted to be equal
to
God.
They wanted to make the call.
Yeah, they decided that they deserved to be equal to God, to have the same knowledge.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the first sin.
Like it, yeah.
And
were you going to the Cain and Abel part?
That's kind of where it goes next, is that, I mean, that's outside of the garden. Anger was the thing that caused the murder, you know? It was jealousy, which is just a different kind of anger.
Yeah.
To say, you know, I deserve the same kind of favor that my brother gets.
Uh-huh.
You know, it all comes back to worship of self.
Yeah.
And so you can't feel wrong without feeling that you deserve better.
Yeah. Was it Ephesians 4:26-32? says, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands to do good work. And then if you go and then give generously to the others in need. Go down to verse 31. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. So it said, and it seems that anger gives something to the devil. It gives foothold.
Gives a purchase.
Yes. Yes. So it's like when we are angry, it seems, and correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm being a little too hyperbolic in some ways, but like anger seems to open a door to something else inside of us. Maybe our natural human tendencies to hurt one another, to get even with one another, instead of being righteous, like we're called, even with Christians. We seem to get angry at a pastor for saying something that we might not agree with. And so instead of going and talking with that pastor, what do? Instead, we backbite. We try to have them, like, there has to be someone else around here that agrees with me, right? And then that just festers bitterness and anger.
Yep.
To the point where it causes division.
And it's not even just a pastor says something. It's somebody.
Anybody.
Somebody says something about something you don't like, or they did something that you disagree with. You will do anything to get them on your side. And I say you, and I'm talking about me.
Yeah.
Because I've done that more times than I want to admit.
Yes. No, I mean, me too.
No, I'm not offended by any means.
I know. I'm not saying it. I was pointed at you, but I'm like, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fine.
Okay, it was you. But well, okay,
I love
just
you.
I was kidding. No. But
I think all sin grows, but I think in Ephesians 4, it does seem like there's some connection between anger and the growth of anger.
Yeah.
To be quick.
It just seems like anger is the one that starts to other sins, right?
It's the thing that we use to justify behavior afterwards.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry I did that. I was angry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
That is a really good point.
Yeah, I've tried
kinda,
that.
We kind of give that as leave to go about out of control. Say, hey, I did that thing because I was angry. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Basically saying like you know, it could be anything from saying something hurtful, damaging property, violence. It could be...
Well, the last two you can go to jail for.
Yeah, right. But it doesn't change the fact that people will often just say, I did it because I was angry. I wasn't in control of myself.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that any of them are good. But
you're right, though. It becomes like, it's like the point, like you can't cross it. Like, that's just the constant. Like, I was angry. Can't talk about the fact that I was angry or that the anger was wrong, but it's almost like that sentence is it's not wrong for me to be angry, but it was wrong for me to act the way I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Bible would say it's also wrong to be angry. And I think that's a key distinction between us and the world is we all have anger.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the constant. But we don't get, as Christians, the ability to say, well, please forgive me for what I did when I was angry, because everybody gets angry. Everybody's angry. We're all angry. You get it. I get it. So I shouldn't have done those things, but it's not my fault that I'm angry. But in reality, like Ephesians 4 says, like, be angry and do not sin. Like, you can't sin with, I mean, it's just not going to run.
It's one of those weird spots where it's like, it's hard to, I don't want to say that like feeling things can be a mistake, like it's like, hey, how dare you feel that? Because I don't think we have that kind of control, but I think that they can be indicators,
yeah,
a litmus test, so to speak, of other things we need to deal with.
Yeah.
If you do feel anger a lot, that means that your heart's got some work to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily like, hey, you're wrong for feeling this in this moment right now. It's more of, hey, the fact that you're getting angry means that there's something else you need to work on.
Yeah.
most likely, again, worship of self.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, I mean, usually when you get angry, you're doing something with that anger that is sinful.
I do want to differentiate. Feeling anger, I could say, is not necessarily like the wrong thing to do in and of itself. What you do with the anger afterwards, right. Yeah. Is.
I mean, God gave us feelings.
Yeah.
No, yeah, of course. Well, it's like, for example, with that, it's like you hear about different kinds of wars or just regular, like, just injustices that are happening. We shouldn't be neutral about that. Like, that should stir us to feel something, right? Like, you'd be like, no, that's wrong. That could be that righteous anger sliver. That's just after that initial thing, like, acknowledgement, like, this makes me very upset. And like,
I think it's okay to be angry that abortion is legal so many places.
100%. That should bother us.
That's a thing that we're basically, you can be upset that murder is allowed as long as it's a baby. Like, yeah. That's a thing to be angry about.
Yeah.
Don't firebomb an abortion clinic for it.
No.
Don't.
No, you're right.
Don't do
you're right.
things that are also sins to try and, like, fight sin with sin, fire with fire. Yeah. That's not okay.
Yeah.
But if you feel anger because of an injustice, that is righteous anger.
Yeah.
That's where it comes in. It's not as common as the other one.
Yeah.
Try not to mix them up.
Well, it seems like we should be addressing our anger quickly rather than stewing on it.
And one of the wisest things I've heard about anger is to respond and not react.
Yeah.
Which could sound like two versions of the same word, but it is to actually stop and think before the next move.
Yeah. Well, and pride gets in the way of getting things done when it comes to, like, someone doing something wrong to us. It's...
How dare they?
Yeah. Or it's like, I have to look like the weak one for not acknowledge, like, for not reacting to someone that hurt me. I have to let it go and move on and give it to the Lord, because in my own hands, I will destroy it. I will destroy relationships through my anger. I will burn bridges to friendships, to it could lead, like, from marriages. It starts with anger towards one another, it seems, you know, and it leads to something worse and worse and worse, and then it just gets messier and messier. And yeah, it just seems like a snowball effect of what could happen.
I agree with you. So looking at, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, it says, take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. So even to Andrew's point about pointing out, abortion and other just sinful, dark things of the world. So, and I think righteous anger for injustice, those are good things. I think that would be the part of righteous anger. But it would seem that unchecked sin leads only to, or unchecked anger leads only to wrath, malice, bitterness. Yeah. There's no good end to that. There's no, as James 1 says, there's no righteous ending to sinful anger. And if that is the case, then, and then to your point about what you said about forgiving and moving on, you know, the world would say, why are you being a doormat?
Yes.
You know, why are you being a doormat? Like, why are you so willing to let that person walk all over you? And and those are some of the ways that I think we allow the world into our lives in unhelpful ways. Mm-hmm. Because the Bible is very countercultural in that way. It is bearing with one another, forgiving one another. I mean, you read it already. You know, verse 32 of chapter 4 of Ephesians, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Why? As God in Christ forgave you. So those who have been forgiven of much should forgive much. And it is an affront to our Savior to say, God, you're no longer holding anything against me. You know, you're a holy, just, perfect God. Every one of my sins requires punishment and, frankly, damnation and a life, an eternity in hell. That's what I've earned by my actions. Mm. And you've washed all that clean by the blood of Christ. But Andrew said something that hurt my feelings yesterday, and I'm really mad at him. I mean, that shouldn't jive for us. No. That shouldn't be normal and okay. Because we would, in sackcloth and ashes, say, if God treated me like that, I would have no hope for salvation, no hope for eternity other than hell.
Yeah.
And yet we have to say, well, I was wronged, and I was, they hurt my feelings, or they made me look bad, or whatever. Yeah. You know, it's like we've been forgiven. We've been given the keys to the kingdom, and we can't get over something as simple as, well, you know what they said about, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
That's it shouldn't be as common as it is.
Did but to Andrew's hurt point, your feelings?
Never. Never.
Here's a question too.
I'll try.
Okay.
Have you heard this saying, I'm angry and I need my time to be angry?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I've heard people say I need to vent. That's another one where people try to like, I need to vent
but,
my anger.
Okay. If I need to vent my anger, that means I need to gossip.
Right.
Correct.
And I need to talk bad about it.
Right.
So I can get it out of my system, which will not get out of your system.
Right.
No, it's only adding it to other people.
It adds it to other people's systems. Yeah.
Right. It becomes a gang mentality.
Yeah.
Yep. When you're angry at someone, you want someone else to be angry with you, and you're going to convince them as much as possible to be angry with you because your apparent anger is just.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not.
Right. Right.
And I, like I said, I'm speaking to myself. If I had a mirror, I'd be speaking to myself. But at some point in time, you have to look back. It's like, not everyone's at fault, right? Maybe there's something in me.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe there's something deep rotting inside of my heart that I am constantly being upset and angered by somebody. Instead of trying to find a life of peace and letting go of those things to become more like Christ and to have like better relationships with the people that we get to like have a privilege to be around, like what's going on inside of me,
mm-hmm.
right? That's something I have to think of constantly when I feel like I'm being wronged. I'm like, okay, is it just me, or is there actually something wrong going on here? Like, I think asking yourself questions in moments of tension. I'm like, okay, let me just look. Like, let me pull myself back, not to vent, but to go to God and say, God, did I do something that I need to make right?
Mm-hmm.
Did I do something that I need to make right with you? Is this not me? Like, is it just because this person's broken just as much as I am.
Mm. If we have security in Christ, we don't have to get even because God doesn't get even with us.
No.
Yep.
And I think you're right. I think everything you said is spot on. And what I think is radical about the Christian life is we're commanded to forgive and to bear. And, you know, mm-hmm. I think of texts like 1 Peter 4, love covers a multitude of sins.
Yeah.
You know, or in, you know, actually in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul starts that section with the sisters of salvation, unity and peace.
Yeah.
Like that's what all these things he's writing about in chapter 4 and 5 are ways to create more unity and peace in the body. And the way you do that is being realistic. We are all sinners. We all are going to get angry, and people are going to get angry at us. People are going to say things to us that are harmful and hurtful.
Yeah.
And the highest priority from a biblical perspective is unity and peace in the body. It's not, I need to be vindicated. I need to be made right. I need to be made whole. In theory, you've been made whole in Christ, which means you can endure mm-hmm. if somebody says something yeah. or does something that you don't like. And frankly, it is an honor to be able to bear with someone and say, okay, well, we just need to let that go.
Yeah.
Just let it go.
That's the beauty of the backwards kingdom of heaven
mm-hmm.
is that we don't throw people to the side. Sometimes we're going to have to bear harder with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And like Psalms 37, verse 8 and 9. It says, stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm. For the wicked will be destroyed, but those who trust in the Lord will possess the land. Like, your anger is going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
At least spiritually. Or even like physically.
You can make an argument that bitterness kills people physically.
Yeah.
Carrying that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, all it, yeah.
Your body, it's almost like your body breaks down.
Yeah, it destroys your body.
Your health?
Yeah.
Maybe
that's why I have so many health problems.
Doubtful. be your failing kidneys.
That's fair.
They are spongy.
They're
pretty spongy.
Have you seen them lately?
Yes.
Not recently, no.
The other thing I wanted to add to the conversation is we also need to be talking about like legitimate sins.
Yeah.
Not personality
or
preference.
Hypothetical.
Right. Well, I mean, like, not personality and preference. So I don't get along with that person.
Yeah.
So I'm already predisposed.
Our Enneagrams don't line up. Our Myers-Briggs personality types don't go. Okay.
Right. We're just oil and water, right? So that's a personality thing or a preference thing. Like, I like this or I like that or I want my, I can't even think of a good example off the fly, but like something that is not a command. So again, I think we should shrink the number of things in our minds that are actually like times that we're sinned against.
Yeah.
Like if someone has a strong take on my parenting, that's not a sin issue. Because what does the Bible say about parenting? Discipline your kids and raise them in the instruction of the Lord. That's it. So whether you do time out or you do this or you do that or you educate them this way or whatever, there's 1,000 things that are preferential that are not sinful. And those are the areas where I think people get harmed the most because it's not like you're coming to me and saying, Brett, you committed murder. Duh, I need to repent for murder. That's a sin. I murdered somebody.
Yeah.
But what we're saying is something that's not a sin issue, but it's a preference thing, and I'm all twisted because my preferences mean as much to me as commands do. And then someone says something, and that's, I think, the real area where this comes into play because it's not a sin issue. How I raise my kids and how I educate them or any other hot-button item that people have, that's a preference thing. It's not a sin thing.
Yep.
So if I'm not sinning and you're not sinning, first of all, just don't say it. Unwanted advice is criticism. Like if someone asks, then give the opinion. Like no one's asking me. So guess what? I'm not telling you. I believe in that because who cares what I think? I mean, I don't think you should ask me, but if you do, I'll tell you. But that's a preference thing. Like it's we're not talking about sin stuff, but I think the anger comes from I have a preference, I have a strong preference, and you're going against it, and it's an affront to me. And that's, I think, a big area where anger just rears up and just destroys unity is in the area of personality and preference, not in actual sin issues. Because we have texts for sin issues. If someone sins, breaks one of the Ten Commandments against you, that's a pretty clear path. You go to them, you confront them. Easy to confront. How do you confront somebody about being a dweeb about some secondary issue? You don't. That's why you got to love them and move on.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just so-and-so. They really, really love their homeschool. Okay, fine. Let it ride.
Yeah.
Oh, that they really, really think that the way, you know.
They're Android products.
Yeah, exactly. Just let it ride, you know?
Yeah. Oh, Ecclesiastes 7:9, control your temper for anger labels you as a fool.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's foolish.
Think about it. Like when you said these secondary issues, like if that becomes the topic of gossip and backbiting, like it looks foolish.
It does.
And it makes it, like, not to be too like crass, but it makes you kind of stupid. Like you don't make wise decisions when we're arguing over like things that don't matter in the end.
Well, and if if we're not like if our eyes aren't on the gospel and on Christ, none of it matters. Like like why not spend more time talking about the beauty of our salvation and the greatness of our God? That's the stuff that matters. Like who cares how you educate your kid? Or again, that's the one I keep thinking of because it's late. It's the first thing I can think of, but.
We're in the homeschool room right now.
Yeah, there you go. I'm looking around thinking, well, I guess that is something we, whatever. But it's just sad to me that we just can't. And then everybody's feelings get hurt and everybody gets mad. And then it's like, we shouldn't have broke unity over this because there's nothing here to break unity over. Like it's not, but again, people don't have the ability to distinguish between a command and a preference.
Yeah.
Because functionally, they feel the same. Like, I want you to be educating your kids convictionally.
Yeah.
That's what I want for you. I want you to, you know, I can't, I literally.
You literally can't get off education.
I can't think, well, I'm also working education all day.
I know.
I'm talking about education all the time.
That's hilarious.
All the time I'm talking about education right now.
Oh, that's so funny.
I just literally can't think of anything else.
Spankings.
Sure.
Timeouts.
There you go. Yeah. So I have very strong opinions about that. Very strong. Oh. I have, you know what else I have a strong opinion about? We're crazy about scheduling, especially with our little kids.
Oh, sure.
Like, I really believe in scheduling. Who cares? Like, none of that stuff is biblical. None of it's commanded. You could maybe make an argument that we've found some success with our kids doing these certain things. Okay. But, like, that's not, again, anything worth breaking up over. And I look at
breaking up.
Fellowship. Yeah, fellowship. Yeah. Sometime. It feels like it. Not you.
Right.
Anyway, I've been talking too long. Someone else get in here and save the day.
No, I think you're right. And then, I think currently we're seeing a divide. It's probably just because I read about it a lot, but biblical translation. Like, what's translation of the Bible you're going to use? That splits churches for some reason.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Splits friendships too. You read that one. You know.
Like, I can't believe you would read that. How dumb are you? Like,
you read The Passion, so.
I mean, that was a time of weakness.
A pretty long time.
I only read it once.
I'm just kidding.
I don't read that often, but no, I just like stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're not on another plane of like knowledge and intelligence because we use a certain Bible translation, right? Like, just read.
Definitely people that think that.
Yeah, but like, read a Bible that so you can understand it and learn something.
Yeah.
Like, let it stick, right?
It's the tribal tendencies again. It's
Ness. I need tribes.
I need people on my side, people that agree with me, and then I can feel better about the people I don't agree with.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like, I wonder if that's the church hop thing, right? If I find the place where I'm going to be.
We do it with everything.
We do it with the music. We do it. Yeah. We do it with the preaching. We do it with the style of preaching.
Yeah.
What's being preached specifically,
even
if it is all technically biblical.
Yeah.
Just there's so many.
Goes back to Andrew's thing he said about worshiping self. Like it's
oh, absolutely.
Like, why isn't this? If this whole thing isn't giving me what I want, I'm out. Yeah. And that makes me mad.
Yeah, that's not even what church is about.
No.
No.
Definitely not. And I think I've shanghaied this topic to leave anger, so we should probably get back to anger.
No, I think.
But I just think
a good
conversation. I think anger is a big part of unity, and it is a big drive. So anger destroys peace and unity, which I think are the two main themes that come from. Because essentially, we're talking about church life, right? I mean, anger by definition is primarily relational. Like, you have to be angry. Sinful anger is typically at someone, not typically at something. Like, again, if we're angry about the sin of abortion, you can be angry at a thing. That's maybe that's righteous anger. I don't know, being angry at a thing, but being angry at a person typically
probably anger at a certain thing God deems as evil.
Right. Yeah, it's a good distinction. Correct.
I would further distinguish that it's okay to be, for the example of abortion, be angry that abortion exists.
Yeah.
Be ready to forgive someone who's had one or someone who performs one.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to decide what's the enemy and what's the battlefield.
Yes. We don't understand how people get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and to.
Oh, you never know chapter one of a person's life.
No.
And like, into it. Unless they're your kid.
Yes.
You don't know chapter one of anybody's life.
And to put into like. And I think that's the problem with the hyperactive, like the hyper anger just news cycle. I think I'm convinced that media is just there to stir up anger inside of us and like to build tribes.
I think that media is there for ratings, and they've figured out that stirring up is how they get the ratings.
You need an audience,
true.
And so we, instead of having the filters of the Holy Spirit on our spiritual eyes to our heart, we have the filters of our culture, and it makes us angry. And instead of forgiving those who have wronged us, then it's just condemning those who have passively wronged us, our views. And I just, that's not how I don't think that's how Jesus would have done things. I think he would have forgiven those who would say have abortions, or those like who yell at their wives, or even talk down to people, or like get too frustrated with their children.
It's tough to say it out loud, isn't it? It's tough to say, like, we need to be ready to forgive, like, an abusive husband.
Yeah.
We need to be ready to, like,
yeah,
you know, help them. Don't let it keep happening.
Yeah.
But also forgive.
Yeah.
Sin is a tricky thing because it goes to the core of our being. We are sinners to the core of our being, but we can't allow it to be the only thing that defines us.
Yeah.
What I think happens now is you are defined by a decision and an issue. So if you've had an abortion, you are now defined by that.
Yeah.
There's no redemption there. There's no forgiveness. There's no chapter two. And that is a very divisive scheme that I think the world and the devil has used to basically build tribalism, is to say, once you've gone this far, you can never come back. But that's not the message of the gospel. The gospel is never, you've gone too far. You've sinned too greatly. That God's grace, and he says, and I think Isaiah, is my arm too short to save? Is there anything I can't do? And we have to fight this what seems to be some cultural thought that if we're too liberal with our forgiveness and too loose, we could get it wrong. But again, we don't get to play God. So if somebody is an abusive husband and comes and repents and seeks to change, what can we do? Well, we're supposed to accept that. What if they fall back into it? Well, again, we don't stand before God about that person's decisions. All we can do is forgive and walk with and bear with and encourage and minister to and call them to be the husband they're supposed to be. But if they sin or they relapse or they fall or they were never, that's ultimately not on us.
Yeah.
And so we almost want to say, well, because there's too much danger there, we got to put up walls. And that guy's a wife beater. We can never talk to him. He can never be a member of this church. He shouldn't even come on a Sunday. Well, that can't be the right answer either. So this is dangerous.
Yeah.
It's dangerous because sin is difficult.
Yeah.
And it's pervasive. And it reaches to our base nature. So we will look countercultural. Like, we can't just say, okay, this person's beyond whatever. You can't say it. Mm-hmm. You can't say it.
It's like we can't have black and white answers.
No.
It's like we have to think about issues. But even individually, saying
that, what is the church going to say? Oh, Andrew's going liberal. He doesn't believe in right and wrong anymore.
No, you're.
I've been told to stop riding the fence by extended family.
No, it was Bryce, wasn't it?
No, it was Bryce's grandpa.
Just kidding.
Grandpa Paul.
Yeah, my grandpa is.
I had a conversation with someone, and it's like, we don't leave room for the mysteries of God and the things that he say, because that it doesn't make sense to us. He's not, like, we're not divine.
And I'm sure glad it doesn't all make sense.
No, like, I was like,
otherwise we'd have to doubt his divinity.
Don't leave room for mystery, we wouldn't be as in awe of who God is. And we wouldn't be in awe of, like, oh my gosh, he saved me. Why?
Mm-hmm.
I had nothing to, like, to give.
Right.
I didn't deserve this. Like, I'm gross. Like, but God, the creator of all things and all life, like, chose me. And so I can choose to forgive this person that blatantly wronged me and move on. Instead of holding the dagger behind their back, waiting for them to mess up again so that I can take my anger out on them. Because they wronged me. I deserve revenge. I deserve to be made right. But when someone comes and does that to me and I'm surprised about it, look where it started. Mm. It started with my actions and my choices to not let go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So good.
The cycle.
I'm just saying, like, forgiveness is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you're not going to do it on your own.
Right.
God give, like, if God's changing your heart, you will choose to forgive.
Yeah. And also, God doesn't give you a lobotomy.
No.
Like, you will remember that it happened.
No.
So it is a constant fight of faith to continue. Because the idea of, like, forgive and forget, well, guess what?
Forget.
It's just not going
to
happen.
No. I forget to go to the store. I don't forget how bad I was hurt.
Yeah, exactly. So,
because it's a prick. It's like something has happened where it has, you can call back, like, certain smells, certain, like, areas are going to call that back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something in our, and I think it's, honestly, I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's like God helps us remember the things that we have come from. And it's also because of a trigger point of something traumatic that has happened to us that is, it's just wired in our brains.
Yep.
And that's because of a fallen world. And I think it's because of our sin, because it's like, oh, hey, there it is again. Bring it back up. Remember, let your wife remember what she did to you right here. Let your friend remember that, hey, you hurt me here. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's all, and like I said, it's all about self. It's all about promoting the self, not promoting unity and love and forgiveness and joy with one another.
Even in our forgiveness, we don't get the black and white answer we want, right? We want to just forgive them and it to be done. Like, okay, it's over. But a lot of times it's not over. Like, it's a daily, weekly. I mean, there are people that will have wronged you that you're going to be in proximity to, and you're going to have to fight that fight of faith daily to say, you know, I still remember it, and it still really hurt. But God is greater. Christ is more glorious, and through Him I can endure this and thrive, and ultimately love.
Yep.
Love them, because that's the command.
Yes,
the command is greater than we even think.
Love one another.
It's not get along with.
Mm-hmm.
It's love.
It's not that cushy. It's not the cushy Hollywood love.
You could maybe get away with getting along with somebody without the power of the Spirit, but you're never going to love them.
Yeah.
Not without Christ.
Mm-hmm. Not at all.
Because it's hard.
Brandon, you made me think of a. This might be far enough off tangent that we can edit it out later. So, edit. But when you're talking about how, like, things like smells and locations bring that stuff back up, it makes me think of the whole hard times make strong men make good times make soft men kind of a thing.
Yeah,
that, like, our brains, I think God designed those parts of our brains for when survival was more of an issue than it is now. It used to be that we remind, like, this was a place where we used to gather food, or this used to be where we go to get water, and then remember, oh no, there's alligators there, or something like that. You know? And now, since we don't have to worry about alligators when we go to the supermarket, we instead find, like, our brains make the danger things like, I was offended, or I was treated unfairly in this spot, because we don't have anything that actually serious to deal with. Like, now we're we're
that's a good perspective.
We're putting a lot of weight onto little things because we don't have big things to deal with anymore. Or not the same kind of big thing.
And not to keep going back to Ephesians 4 and 5, but that is the whole process that Paul is using. And he would say it like this: put off the old man, put on the new man. You can't take something away without replacing it with something. Otherwise, that other thing will come back, or something worse will come back. So to Andrew's point, I think what Paul is saying in, like, chapter 4 is, let the thief no longer steal. Well, what should he do? Rather have him labor and doing honest work with his own hands so that he might have something to give. So the answer isn't just stop stealing. It's go to work and give, right? The complete opposite of stealing. Mm-hmm. Make your own money and be generous, right?
It's like repent.
Yeah, correct.
Turn around.
Turn and go a different direction.
Go the different direction.
So I think what Andrew is hitting on here is the same spiritual principle of nature. You just can't have a vacuum. Like, if you take something out, something's going to go there. And so what Paul is saying is, this is what should go there. So be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Give no opportunity to the devil. Those are three commands about not being angry. So be angry. Then what do? Don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on it. And don't give the devil an opportunity. And all of these little ones in here have a do and a don't. Let no corrupting tongue talk come out of your mouth. So what do you do? But speech that is only good for building up.
Yep.
So it's don't just stop talking. It's use your words for good.
Yep.
So to your point, this is a place that reminds me of this or reminds me of that. So we need to be replacing that with something better because that will come back. So what is the answer? Well, when I run into this person, it's don't call up the things that they did to hurt me. It's call up, I want for your good, unity, love, brotherhood, peace. These are the things that we want to have with believers because something's going to come up when I think of them. We don't want it to be the bad stuff. We want it to be what God commands us to bring up.
Yep.
Absolutely.
That's great. That's very good.
Not that any of it's easy.
No.
Or that any of us do this.
But we...
We're really good at talking about doing it.
We have to have these conversations.
Yeah, no.
We need to point each other in the right direction.
Right.
Instead of letting our bitterness and our anger stew, and like you are not identified by who, like your anger,
right?
We identify like I'm so passionate because I feel like I've been hurt, so I'm going to be identified with, I'm going to hold that burden of anger on my back so that everyone can tell, and I'm not going to let it go because this is who I am now.
Right.
I have been hurt so much that I want people to know I've been hurt so much. Look at me. Look at what so and so said about me or done or has done to me or cheated me. Look at my burden. Take a look. I want you to see it. But God says to let go of the burden on your back and take the yoke, the easy yoke of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He says, let me hold that because you cannot hold it any longer.
Amen.
So get rid of it and become and walk with me. Walk the narrow road. The wide road of the world and hell says to give full vent to your anger.
Mm-hmm.
Let everyone online know how bad of a, bad apple you are. Let them all know how angry you are. And then when you see him face to face, don't even talk that way.
Don't worry. It was anonymous.
I know, but it's like, I wonder if we were face to face with one another and we did the things that Jesus said, go and reconcile, make the enemy your brother. Like how like in Philemon there's a intertwining story of like you make the enemy your brother.
I learned that from an unbeliever at work. I had a guy that I worked with. He was having I trained him. He was a salesman and he had a customer that was so mad at him. And I was talking to him on the phone about it. What are you going to do? He goes, I'm going to go in there. What do you mean you're going to go? I'm going to go see him face to face. I go, are you kidding me? They're going to kill you. He said, no one's ever as mean face to face as they are on the phone or by email. He said, if you got a problem in sales, walk in the door. I'm like, that's crazy. You know what? It's true. So to your point, that's true.
Yeah.
The other thing I would say is the word I would use about what you're describing now that I think the culture is doing, identity.
Yeah.
Identity. The thing that you have to fight as a Christian is what is your identity?
Yeah.
It is not victim. It is not my sexual desires. It's none of. If you are a Christian, your identity is in Christ. It is no longer I who live, but He who lives in me.
Uh-huh.
Galatians 2:20. And if you allow the world, or even the church, to dictate to you what your identity is, you will never have the right identity. The identity comes from the scriptures. It comes from what God says about us. We are forgiven. We are redeemed. We are humble. We are sinners. We are the crown jewel of creation. All of these things have to come together, and you have to know all of them, but you know them not because you're being spoon-fed, but you need to know them.
Yeah.
Because our identity, because it can be a good thing. Well, what's my identity? Hard worker. What's my identity? Father. What's my identity? Pastor. Like, these are not the identities that we need to have. The identity we should have is redeemed believer.
But there's a negative side to that. It's like my identity is depressed.
Right.
My identity is bitter.
Yes.
My identity is angry.
Mm-hmm.
My identity is fill in the blank.
All of it.
And so.
Anything.
And so I can't recall where the verse is, but it's, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I think some other translations use uniquely made. So when we're born again, God takes the old and he replaces the new with who we were supposed to be. and if we're working out our salvation, we're becoming who God wanted us to be individually to help the communal of the body to do the one thing that we're all called to do is to worship the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're not any of these things that you keep saying that you are. You're not a helpless, angry person. Mm-hmm. If you are of Christ, if you are in Christ, you are born again. You are made new. Mm. The old has gone. The new has come.
2 Corinthians, let's go. So that's, okay, so this is the pastor in me. That is not to say that the things you're dealing with aren't real.
No.
Right. Like, let's also balance that out and just say, hey, like, hear what we're not saying, which is you have no right to have to process or grieve.
I don't think we said that.
I don't think anybody would think that. But just to be abundantly clear, like what we're telling you is life is hard. It's kind of stinky. And everybody goes through stuff that no one wants to go through. And we understand that. That's why the Bible talks about bearing with, weeping with. So don't hear us saying that either. But ultimately, like where we want to get to is our identity is in Christ alone.
Yeah.
Right. Meaning you have power over your circumstances. You have power over your history and your background. You don't have to be what you are now if you have Christ forever. You don't have to be. There is hope. Yeah. There is hope for you.
Yeah.
Not even just in some distant, far off, eternal life, but there's hope now for you. So, but we know it's hard. And that's what the Bible also tells us to weep with those who weep and care for those. So we know that's why we're here, is we're here to bear with each other and walk together and point each other to Christ.
Yeah.
Knowing that our identity is so much greater than it is most days.
Yeah. Gosh.
So good.
So good.
That's awesome. That was like, I think we hit anger, but we also just talked.
We were there for a while.
We also talked about the other side of what it should be.
Mm-hmm. Like it's biblical.
Yes, it's very
biblical. We don't want somebody to be able to stop being angry.
Yeah.
And not give them something to replace that with.
Yeah. Because like you get rid of something, something will fill that spot, right? Like, and you'd hope that it would be God.
Yeah.
You know, I get rid of this hurt that this person did to me. And I want to put God there. I don't want to put another person there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give full vent to my anger and just keep being angry. I want to be made whole.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to keep being anemic in my faith. I don't want to be so hands distance. I want people with me. I want to know and love people because God has asked me and called me to love people that are hard to love. That's why I will always fully believe that our faith and the God of the Bible, he brings people that don't make sense together. And how beautiful that is. And how wonderful that is. Because he knew we needed one another. Like each individual person here with different personalities. He wasn't asking us to become robots. He was asking us to be who we are and to come in together and work this out with one another. Which is going to mean you're going to get bumps and bruises along the way. But it doesn't mean we get to just walk away from one another.
That's true.
As hard as it is, and as hard as I want to walk away sometimes. Not with you guys. You guys are pretty cool. But it's like, there's been times I'm just like, I just don't want to do this. This is so hard, God. This is too difficult for me to hold on to. He's like, well, you're not the one holding on to it. You're not the one controlling it, right? I am. So give it to me. And I'm like, well, it's way more minuscule than I thought it was. Right? Because I'm like, oh, I just give it to him. And just keep moving on. And
why did that affect me so much?
Why did I let that turn me into like something I'm not supposed to be? And yeah.
Amen, dude.
God is beautiful.
Yeah.
God is good.
He's great.
Yeah. I mean,
there's so much to be had.
If that's all we ever heard every time we went to a service, is like, God is good. Like, yeah. Of course he's good.
Right.
Like, every part of him is good.
Mm. Like, and he deserves to be the main thing.
Yeah.
So if you keep him the main thing in everything, then a lot of this stuff just falls away.
Yeah.
I think if our vision, I mean, that's why I love that hymn, Be Thou My Vision. Like, if our vision is good, if our vision is on the right thing, like, everything else stays in perspective. It's when we put our eyes on the wrong stuff that anger and frustration and all that stuff comes. We need clear spiritual vision, which, you know, you're just not going to get it anywhere else other than the Bible and with the fellowship of the believers. Because even, we need to wrap it up. We don't have another 20 minutes to talk about how even other ministries can do that kind of stuff, right? So, like, we just need to be Bereans on our own 2 feet and be fed by God and His Word. And yes, there, you know, listen to your pastors, listen to your ministries, but always be vetting that stuff, because not every ministry is going to get it all right. Not every, you know, not every pastor is going to say the right thing. So, like, just know your scriptures.
Yeah,
you know, there are no grandchildren of the faith. We all got to be sons.
Yeah, sons and daughters.
Can't ride somebody else's coattails.
I think of the song we're singing tomorrow, that we know him by 1,000 names, and he deserves every single one.
That's a great song.
Giving me 1,000,000 ways to be amazed at what you've done, and I'm lost in wonder at all you do. Like, let's get back to that.
Amen.
Right. Yeah, I think we covered it, Jim. Do you have anything to say?
He's been here the whole time.
No, he doesn't have anything to say. Because he's not here.
I'm sure he does, though.
Well, I imagine he...
Can we just, like, have him listen to this and talk in a mic and add stuff?
he can...
Bryce, you just splice him.
Why did it take a year and a half for this episode
super,
to come out?
Super easy. It will not be out by November 12th. I'm pretty sure.
November 2025.
I think.
Yeah.
Better put that one in the can for next year. All right, I'm done.
I am... Yeah. Bryce, you want to get us out of here?
What?
This has been a 100 podcast.
That's not how
I sound like Strong Bad.
That's exactly it.
That's not how I say that.
I'm Senor Card Gage.
Wrap it up.
Okay. Hey, this has been Outsiders Podcast. Thanks for listening. You'll see stuff coming out. Have a good one.
Bye.
We love you. Bye.
Goodbye.
That was his head.
Still going. I can't exit out. But stop.
First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego Chicken Sandwich, Fuego Fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego Chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty Classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego Chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.